He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. Happy Veterans Day today. The markets are open, however, and we've got the Dow down 53 right now. Disney, I'm Bill Gunderson, professional money manager, and I'm here with Barry Keit.
Good morning, Financial Analyst.
Good morning. I think today we'll probably dissect a little bit of yesterday's action, which was wild and woolly. And we're off to a good start so far today. If it weren't for Disney, which is really dragging down the Dow here, the Dow's down 51. It's holding 36,000. It's at 36,026. The NASDAQ, on the other hand, has had a really good pop out of the gate this morning. A lot of those stocks that were down big yesterday are making a pretty good comeback today. The NASDAQ's up about 115 right now to 15,741. It has lost its 16,000 territory that it captured for a while there. Small caps are having a good day. That means there's an appetite for risk today. Russell 2000 up 19 points to 2408. The S&P is up 13. I got to believe Disney's probably hurting it a bit. So the S&P is at 46.59. It's up 0.3%. Crude oil back on the prowl higher. It's up 50 cents to 81.84. You know, gold's got some life under it. We'll talk about that a little bit. It's up $17 today. Biggest percent gain by any asset class today is occurring in gold and silver. After yesterday's hot inflation report, the 10-year, which had it's closed today. I believe the bond market's closed, but it was wild and woolly yesterday.
Yeah, and they're taking a breather today.
Yeah, Bitcoin down 3,300 today. All right, welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson and Barry Keit of Gunderson Capital Management. And, you know, we had quite a sell-off. The worst sell-off in a while in the market, but we've had a torrid run, and the NASDAQ was up 9 days in a row there for a nice stretch, and it's all it took was a hotter-than-expected inflation report, and that spooked the market pretty good. The Dow was down 240 yesterday. The NASDAQ was down 264. It was off even more than I think it was off more than 300 at one point in time. And the S&P was down 38 points yesterday. And probably the financial stat that stood out to me the most yesterday, Barry, was a basis point rise of 12 basis points in the 10-year Treasury. That has a tendency to spook the market. And if you don't think there's a correlation between interest rates and the tech sector, I think we proved that back in February and March of this year when the tech sector, ARK funds went through a 37% correction, which, you know, our people don't have that kind of a stomach. And we did a lot of evasive action to get out of the way of that correction. But yesterday, the hardest hit area of the market was without question the high P.E., oh, the cloud stocks and the semiconductor stocks, I would say, were the biggest casualties yesterday.
Yeah, and the 30-year auction fell flat, too. I think that was another, you know, we're always paying attention to the 10-year, but the 30-year Treasury auction, you know, pretty much fell flat, and that also kind of spooked the market because, you know, the last couple of bond issues haven't gone, you know, very well compared to the previous ones.
Well, we always wonder what would happen if China and Japan and other countries stop buying our bonds. We continue to borrow and spend, and as long as there's countries willing to loan us the money, that's going to continue. Jobless claims, let's see, that was yesterday. It was a little bit better than expected. And, of course, that hot print on the inflation data was, we'll get to that here in a bit. And, of course, Rivian was the story of the day as it relates to individual stocks. It opened for trading yesterday at $107 per share. The IPO was priced at $78 per share. This was all much higher than expected. There was tremendous demand for this stock. And, of course, it comes out of the gate on day one with a much, much bigger market cap than Ford, and a much bigger market cap than FedEx, a much bigger market cap than GM. I don't know. You know, it, for me, it's just more signs of a bubble in this sector. Ford owns about 10% of Rivian, and Amazon owns about 10% of Rivian. And I got some questions yesterday. How would you answer this query I got yesterday via email? Should I be buying Rivian here? What say you, Barry?
Well, we had the question from a couple of folks out there. To me, of course, you know, I kind of expected it, right? And you kind of mentioned, you know, that it was going to pop, you know, in terms of have a big boost coming on. But to me, it's, you know, in the short term, you know, it's a, you know, more of a short term trade in my view. I think long term is an investment. A lot of these names, especially the smaller names, you know, this is a disruptive space, and in a disruptive space, you know, not everyone wins.
No.
And if you look at Tesla, just go back, and we've got a history to look at. And by the way, Rivian's tried this before and kind of fizzled a bit, right? And then, you know, got some more capital in 2017. But, you know, Tesla's, I mean, look at them. I mean, it took them a long time to ramp up production, and it's going to take Rivian a long time to ramp up enough production. You know, they got plenty of demand, but you, at some point you got to meet the demand. And that's where you're only going to make money if you meet the demand. And so, it's a story where, you know, it's a 5-10 year play versus where Tesla is now, right? You've got, you know, they're already cranking out, you know, tons and tons of cars compared to where they started. I mean, I remember it was a big deal that they were doing, you know, 3,000 production, right? It was like, oh, 3,000 cars, that's great. We'll see. It's a beautiful truck. It's just, you know, depends on, you know, how many they can crank out and what they're cranking them out at. So.
And, of course, the delivery vans and everything that are coming. And, you know, at least Tesla has kind of paved the way. And at least they kind of have a blueprint, a pioneer to follow, which will make things a little bit easier for them. Personally, I wouldn't touch the stock. Definitely I wouldn't touch it for my investors at this market cap that it's at. It brings up a couple of points. Ford is up 40% since Rivian announced their IPO, because Ford owned 102 million shares. So a lot of that move in Ford, I didn't really realize that, has been because of their stake. They made a ton of money in Rivian.
Yeah, if you can't beat them, join them, right?
And Mary Barra, she's pointing to the fact that, boy, we're really cheap. GM is really cheap if you look at the ratios. It's kind of ridiculous. I don't think you can justify myself the disparity between the big automakers that have been around for a long time. It shows you, number one, how slow they are to move and how far behind the curve they are. They should have been leading in this, but I guess it was a big risk, a big gamble. Musk saw the future and jumped on it and got that big giant share early on. It's going to be hard now to cut into that share. But, it's just, you got to look at Ford and GM and some of the others that have established, dealer networks, repair shops and parts and extra parts. And those stocks got to seem pretty cheap compared to Rivian's. Rivian has set the bar much, much higher on the auto valuations. The other big takeaway from yesterday for me was the big sell-off in the bond market. The high-yield bonds, especially the junk bonds, they got whacked yesterday. And, you know, there are some in the two inverse that I always look at are TBT, which is double inverse the long bond. And, of course, the longer the bond is, the more sensitive it is to interest rates. And the other one I looked at yesterday was SJB, which is inverse the junk bonds. Could we see another big junk bond sell-off like we saw, you know, back in the 90s when a lot of the securities SNLs had the big problem with junk bonds. All right, more to talk about on the inflation print, Rivian, and a whole lot more when we come back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. One telltale chart from yesterday, ProShares has an ETF that is built on inflation expectations. That thing broke out yesterday, RINF. So, you know, if you're one of those that thinks inflation is here to stay, and I think it's going to be around a lot longer than we want, and inflation can turn into a monster that feeds, you know, on its own and grows, and it's hard to get rid of. The number one cause of inflation is loose money policy by the Fed and too much money sloshing around in the system. And, you know, I heard President Biden trying to, you know, blame it on the supply chain and the $1,400 checks that went out. But at the end of the day, how long have we had this loose money policy by the Fed? A long, long time. That's what caused the bout of inflation in the 70s, was loose policy by the Fed. Inflation was running at 16, 18% back then. Until a new sheriff came in at the Fed, Paul Volcker, he raised interest rates almost to 20%, which was very, very painful for America. And, you know, there were you could get on a CD back then 15, 16%. But at the same time, a home loan costs 15 to 16%.
Right, and he would raise interest rates a point at a time. None of this quarter point. He'd just come in and, we're going to raise that 1%. And, it, you know, of course, market-wise, that in the bond market,
bloody.
That was rough. I could only imagine.
It was brutal. Right. But it seems like we haven't really learned our lesson. I think that they'll make Jerome Powell the fall guy in all of this, and I think they'll replace him, but I don't think they'll change the policy. Now, here's the big question. Does this move up closer to – of course, if there's going to be a rate hike, a quarter of a point, you know, maybe a half a point if inflation gets really, really hot. But I don't see the Fed doing anything drastic. They seem to be hell-bent on this course of loose money. And for that reason alone, I think that inflation is going to rear its ugly head and be around for quite a while. What say you, Barry?
To me, it's almost at this point, I think it's beyond the Fed control because, you know, I think there's a lot of policy decisions, right, that have kind of built up, you know, this move towards ESG. Right, has you know, undoubtedly increased traditional energy cost, right? And you know the Fed raising interest rates isn't going to do anything about that. I mean, you've got to encourage, you know, you got to figure out a way to encourage more investment, or at least a bit more in the in some of those carbon producing technologies that you're, you know, essentially trying to get rid of. So I think, personally, I think there's a lot more on the plate of the, you know, administration, whether it's, you know, current administration or, you know, Congress. A lot of these particular policies, even, you know, Europe's a great example because they were kind of on this ESG train earlier, and they've had, you know, look at their energy prices also. You know, so, you know, I think it's a big, much more than the, you know, than raising an interest rate to a quarter point.
Because, yeah, it's beyond the Fed now. That's, you know, I mean, the Fed is.
There's a lot of blame in my book.
Yeah.
And demand, right? I mean, there's some, you know, we all have to, you know, everybody wants to go buy things, you know, now. That's going to wane a bit because people with savings, or you can start seeing their, you know, the savings that got built up from, some of the, checks that went out, right? Those are starting to dwindle. So you're going to get a little less demand, but, there's some, to me, there's some key problems that they've got to fix if they want to get inflation under control. Otherwise, you know, I think from a voting standpoint is going to, you know, they're going to be in trouble come midterms.
So. Well, the woman that's up possibly to be the comptroller of the currency is calling for a bankrupting of all of the energy fossil fuel companies. That's her policy. Of course, that would be very beneficial to Russia, where she's from, because Russia, about 80% of their economy is built on oil. Now, the other big question, what is the actual best hedge against inflation? Bitcoin is jumping after the inflation report yesterday, and gold and silver all of a sudden are starting to take off. Now, traditionally, gold and silver have been the places where people go. They go to hard assets that, you know, have intrinsic value. And for whatever reason, Bitcoin is being seen as that hedge against inflation. I don't think that's going to end well. I think a more sure bet against inflation are like precious metals and other hard assets. Seeing a pretty good bounce in gold, and a lot of those stocks are starting to enter into my top-ranked list. So who knows, maybe a few gold stocks will start to show up in our portfolios, but gold could really take off if this continues. So, well, it's an interesting world that we live in, and there's something new. The other thing I saw yesterday, a huge, huge jump in the U.S. dollar, UUP, which is bouncing again today and breaking out to a new 52-week high. What does that indicate? A flight to safety, Barry, or is it in reaction to the inflation print?
Well, I think based on the text I sent you yesterday when, you know, we were having the sell-off, right, in the equity markets, I'm like, well, where's it going, right, in terms of if it's leaving equities, right? You know, it used to be if it leaves equities, right, it's going to bonds. Well, obviously, that wasn't happening yesterday either because they were both going down. So, you know, I guess, you know, maybe, you know, it's got to be going to cash, right? So maybe there's, you know, maybe more demand for cash, which obviously not the greatest place to be given the inflation.
Not an
inflation we saw.
Yeah.
So, you know, in other words, I don't really know where it was going. You know, I do know that, you know, with the dollar going up, that actually keeps a lid on some of those gold prices, right?
Yep.
Because they're, you know, but as eventually, right, you know, dollar drops, that, you know, all else being equal, that's going to help the gold price. So it's certainly a different dynamic. Yesterday, I think, against the euro, I think the dollar is now at like 114 handle,
yeah.
Which, you know, hasn't been there in a while either. So it's, that's what I was trying to figure out yesterday is where is the money going? So, I guess yesterday it looks like maybe it just went to cash. At least
and today it's going back into the NASDAQ.
Right. Yeah.
Now, my final message to all of our clients and live traders yesterday was I don't think this is a day to do anything major. I didn't do anything yesterday. One day does not a new trend make. But in the coming days and weeks, the bond market definitely was saying yesterday that the Fed's going to move a lot sooner. Now, just one last thing. There was another IPO yesterday that was up even bigger than Rivian. It's called Expensify. EXFY. Man, that thing went up over 100%, and it's up another 6% today. It got kind of lost in all of the noise of yesterday. A lot of stocks to talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market is fading a little bit now. The Dow is down 93. The Nasdaq's only up 90, up 93. The Dow's down 93. So there has been a little bit of a fade here since we started the show. There was some other stocks yesterday that stood out to me. Well, we know that I got my daily report from the ARK funds. They were buying Palantir yesterday, PLTR. That's all I can say is her algorithms are much different than my algorithms. I have Palantir ranked at 3,698. That is about the deadest chart. And I don't buy just because of the chart, but, you know, the ranking takes into account the valuation, the momentum, the performance, the alpha, the safety, etc. So, you know what? That's what she was buying. I'm just reporting. She was also buying a lot of 3D printing stocks, which I think is another area that's been fool's gold for a long, long time.
Yeah, I thought that was. That sounds more like 2012, 2014.
Yeah, that is.
DDD was the one. DDD was the one. I don't even know if that's still a name, but that's.
Yeah,
one
it's still yeah, around. It still DDD yeah. and yeah.
Check out the historical chart on that one.
It's horrible, and it's getting clobbered today. I just don't understand some of the logic there, but that's just me. That's what makes for a market. Coinbase is another big one. Of a lot of the transformational funds, Coinbase got clobbered yesterday. It's rebounding a little bit today, and I've just said about Coinbase. Coinbase was probably as much of a hyped IPO as Rivian was, if not more, because the digital currency and everything. And Coinbase is a $70 billion company. In my book, it has no business being at that kind of valuation. And there's a ton of competition coming into that. Platforms to invest and use crypto assets. But Coinbase is rebounding a little bit today. It had a pretty big sell-off. They had a lousy earnings report yesterday. That one is very vulnerable, in my opinion, at $70 billion in market cap.
I don't understand that one either because, you know, you can actually go to Cash App or you can go to PayPal, buy your crypto at a cheaper, you know, cheaper fee, right, and then transfer it over to your Coinbase account and, you know, you're not paying basically Coinbase anything. It doesn't, you know, their fee per transaction to me is you can avoid paying their fee, buy it somewhere else and just send it over to your Coinbase account if that's where you want it to end up, but.
Yeah,
I just don't, you know, to me, it doesn't seem very sustainable.
Nope. The Chinese stocks were strong yesterday. I don't know really why. I know they're having.
It's Singles Day or what did I forget the name? You know, today's bigger. Today, JD, if you look at JD and Alibaba, you've got the, man, I forget what they call it. It's not
Match
Day.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it's Singles Day.
Yeah, and so it's actually bigger than Black Friday and Cyber Monday combined. So take it for what it's worth. But that's
JD's up 5.8% today. Alibaba is up 2%, and Tencent reported earnings yesterday. They said they're adapting to the new tougher regulations in China. And meanwhile, the Chinese Communist Party is wrapping up their big meeting that they have every 10 years, and it ensures that she's going to be around for at least another seven.
The new Mao.
And with that backdrop, it's for me, it's impossible. It's impossible to invest in China. Okay, there's that story. GM CEO Mary Barra says, Rivian IPO shows how undervalued we are. She used that opportunity to pitch her own stock. We learned that Elon Musk in his first sale in more than 5 years. Okay, now listen, do you think Elon Musk saw a top in Tesla because he chose this recent spike in Tesla to sell? The story I'm seeing says he sold $5 billion worth of Tesla stock this week. I mean, it did hit $1 trillion.
I mean, that's the whole adage, right? When you look at, you know, the old looking at the insider selling, right? They usually sell at tops. I mean, in this instance, I think it's much more of a U.S. policy kind of statement in terms of, you know, he doesn't know what's going to happen tax-wise, right, going forward. So he's parting ways with some of that, getting liquid. What I want to know is, what's he going to do with the money? So is he going to buy? If he's buying,
he's
Bitcoin,
got a lot of
right?
taxes. He's
yeah,
got
well, he's
a
got
lot
some taxes,
of taxes
but if
to
you're,
pay.
Yeah, but if you're buying, you know, I don't. Is it going to make it to some crypto?
Do you think he's buying Rivian?
Yeah, probably.
I don't think
not.
So.
I don't
Palantir.
Think he's, yeah, I'm not sure if Bezos
3D printers. He needs 3D printers for his assembly line there right. at Tesla. I don't know what he's probably going to be looking at the Gunderson's Best Stock Now app and, you know, looking for some of those high rated things. Anyways, he's selling. I think, too, look, he's a pretty smart guy. He's got to say $1 trillion. This is probably a good time to unload a little bit. I think he's a little. Usually they say, well, insider selling, they're building a pool in their backyard, or they're going to buy a third home, a fifth home, a sixth home. I think Musk is a little more savvy. He doesn't need the money to build a pool in his backyard. Dillard's, this surprises me. Okay, this is a department store, bricks and mortar. They're really kind of, other than Macy's, you know, your Broadway and store and Saks Fifth Avenue and Neiman Marcus and JCPenney and Sears, they're all gone. Dillard's, look at that chart today. Dillard's is a stronger stock than Amazon. It has a relative strength rating of 99 DDS. And I'm going to look at what it's ranked in the Best Stocks Now app. Now, I'd be buying Dillard way before I'd be buying Palantir, but that's just me. Dillard's is ranked number 677 overall. Dillard's has a P.E. ratio of 11. And Amazon, which has aspirations to build more bricks and mortar stores, has a P.E. ratio of 68. So I guess you could make the same argument that when you look at a lot of these online sellers and their P.E. ratios, price to sales, price to book, price to cash flow, Dillard's looks pretty cheap. And that is a really big move. The stock's up $58 a share.
Well, and you got 20%. A big short squeeze going on, too, because it's I think it's the short interest on that one's 36.8%. So could be, you know, could be the new, you know, new meme stock. You never know, right? With it's similar game plan in terms of, you know, you got that many shares short. It doesn't take much of a move up to, you know, to get some buying, a lot of buying on one side. Up 21% today so far.
Well, wow. And I will say this too about Dillard's. They've got earnings. I mean, they're expected to make $28 a share,
right?
Next year, $28 per share.
Forward P of 11. So
and this quarter that they reported, their sales year over year were up 44%. The last quarter, their sales were up 69%, and the quarter before that, 65%. Now, just to put things in perspective a little bit, Dillard's is a little $7 billion company. But they're going to make $28 a share next year, and you've got a company like Rivian, which is now $100 billion on day one, you know, with who knows when they'll ever make any earnings.
Or if they will, right, yeah, if they will. But, yeah, Dillard's 45% earnings growth expected for 2022.
Well, I'm well-versed in value investing if it ever comes back to that. It started to in February and March. The value stock started to come back into vogue. We're talking you know, Dillard's has a PE ratio of 11, GM has a PE ratio of 8, Ford has a PE ratio of 10. When a lot of these companies of today are trading at 100 P-E. So
Palantir 151, I think, is
yeah, Palantir 151 P-E ratio. Well, we'll see if what comes around goes around. But I do remember after the 2000-2001 crash of the dot-coms, there was about a 3 or 4 year run, really up until 2008 when they got slammed, but there was a big value investing boom. Maybe that would be something to ask for Christmas, you know, or pick up from Amazon, one of those great books on value investing, which I'm sure you can get at a cheap price right now. I mean, they're basically giving those books away.
Yeah, The Intelligent Investor, Ben Graham. Yes, check it out. It's exactly. Been around for years.
Okay, there's two stocks that jump off the page at me. Man, they're jumping off the page at me and hitting me in the face. We're going to have to feature those when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show with Dow down 79. NASDAQ's getting its mojo back a little bit here, up 125 right now. For me, the sector of the day is solar. Just look at the ETF TAN, T-A-N. That's a beautiful chart on that thing. The sector is up 5.7% today, judging using TAN as a guide. I think I'll pick one solar stock here in a minute. But the stock of the day for me is Affirm, which we own. Affirm Holdings. Now, you got to be careful. There's several stocks named Affirm. There was a great racehorse named Affirm, too. So you don't want to invest in him. I don't know if he's around anymore. Affirm Holdings is that company that got the big contract for buy now, pay later with Amazon. And then what was it, Target? Was the Target
Yeah,
the
Target
other one?
Was the next one. And then the most recent news, you know, they had some earnings yesterday, that you sent over to me. And then they also announced, that Amazon deal is going to be, sounds like it's going to be more sticky for, you know, I think it's anything over $50. And, you know, now you can do the buy now, pay later, which is, you know, I there's not too many times where I'm spending less than $50 at Amazon, put it that way. And then and the other thing is they have more exclusivity, too. So they're basically going to be the
Amazon. That's right. A heck of a big customer.
Yeah, that's a lot of sales. A lot of sales that could be potential buy now, pay later, I guess.
A firm has a market cap of $40 billion, and it was up even higher last night in the after hours. It's up $20 per share right now. That's 15.3%, and we currently own a firm. AFRM, in our ultra growth portfolio. It's one of the chosen 20 that we own in that portfolio. $40 billion company that went public not that long ago. This year it went public, and it was $54 in July. Now it's $154. We bought it around the $100 area, so we have a pretty good gain in it so far, but it's becoming a big player in the online and in the the retail bricks and mortar space. The solar stock that I'll pick on here as one of my favorites is Maxeon Solar Technologies out of Singapore. You kind of get away from that, Chinese connection with Daco and some of the other ones. This one's headquartered out of Singapore. It's a micro cap, 774 million dollars, not even a billion. Here we're talking about all these $100 billion companies and $2.4 trillion. At $774 million, it seems like just, you know, tiny little company. But the solar industry, it just seems to me, it's well positioned right now for a lot of reasons. And I don't know what was in the infrastructure bill, the $1 trillion bill, but I'm sure there's plenty in there for solar incentives. The cars are supposedly electrical vehicle, supposedly to go to 12,500 tax credit from the current 7,500. If it's a union shop, we still don't have the answer to the question, how will a Tesla car be treated? Maybe somebody out there in our listening audience knows. They can go on our website and let us know what Tesla. I know it's currently 7,500. But GM and Ford could get a boost with a much bigger tax credit. So Maxon, M-A-X-N, it's currently ranked number 600 out of 6,000 different stocks in our database. And we own a little bit in our emerging growth portfolio. I don't like most of the... like First Solar, I'm not a fan of First Solar. It's having a big day. It's up 2%. Another one that I've owned in the past and done well with is SEDG. SEDG. I bet it's having a big day. Wow, yeah, it's up. Woo, 5.9%, $20 per share, hitting new all-time high.
Yeah,
that's
Enphase.
Solar Edge.
Enphase is one of, like, before. ENPH.
Yep, we've owned
like
that.
And I like them because they own, you know, they create the inverter to turn the, you know, to turn the DC power into AC power. And so they're not as much in the panel business, which, you know, the panel business over the years, you know, becomes commoditized sometimes. And then, you know, you have these big sell-offs with some of the panel makers. So they're, I mean, their forward PE, though, is 102. So it's, you know, it's still, you know, it's still in this technology space, right, where, you know, you're in those high PE range on most of those.
Well, and the growth rate for Enphase over the last 5 years, earnings growth, I mean, Rivian would die to have 291% per year annualized earnings growth. Enphase was a $1 stock in 2018, and now it's $250. And surprisingly enough, you'd think there would be more publicly traded solar stocks, but there really aren't a whole lot of publicly traded solar stocks. Sunrun is another one, RUN. I'll bet it's having a big day. Yeah, it's up 5.8%. So it's a big day across the board. And, of course, the ETF, there are several ETFs, but probably the biggest one is TAN. T-A-N, which has got $4 billion in it, and it's up 5.8%. That ETF is one of the top-ranked ETFs in my entire universe right now. It was 87 about a month ago, which is very unusual for an ETF to be ranked that high. You know, usually it takes an individual stock. Okay, I'm working on the newsletter today. We made a couple of big buys this week that'll show up in this week's newsletter. I'll have another update on our macro outlook for the market, where we've been right since 2008, and some new numbers out for you. The rising interest rates could impact the multiple a little bit. We'll see. We'll do the math on that. You can get the newsletter by going to GundersonCapital.com. 2 free weeks, and if you just want to talk to us about managing your money, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.